This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How to invest in a very uncertain mid-August of 2017. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The key stock index in Spain is down 1% now with the carnage in and around Barcelona yesterday. Hong Kong closed down 1.1%. London's index is down in a similar range. Ben Kumar is at Seven Investment Management in London. Thanks for leaking up here, Ben.
You're welcome.
Terrorist outrages, but that's not the only thing persuading market players to take some money off the table globally this morning?
No, I think there's, ongoing speculation about Donald Trump's administration and how stable it is, the departures of the CEOs from the various advisory boards, and indeed the closing down of those advisory boards, whether Gary Cohn is going to step down. It's basically all adding to a narrative of there's something out there that doesn't smell quite right. And that's why I think you've seen markets around the world all down about the same amount.
Yes, Gary Cohn, the chief economic advisor to President Trump, and to emphasize, it's not clear that he's going anywhere, but it's been indicated that he's been uncomfortable with some of the president's statements this week. Also, we have an August Friday. That can also lead some folks to take some money off the table.
Yeah, you know, the summer trading periods, despite the fact that we live in a bit more of an automated world, is still a thing. You know, the fact that people go on holiday, the fact that markets see slightly thinner volumes and maybe react a little bit more to a little bit less news is something that affects the market. You know, I think the Gary Cohn rumor, the fact that it's only a rumor, hasn't stopped people worrying about it. Widely seen as one of the pragmatic business friendly heads in Donald Trump's kind of closest circle of advisors.
Yes, because if one is making investments based on, for instance, infrastructure spending by the U.S. federal government or tax reform, the current political moment makes it tougher to make those bets.
As ex-president of Goldman Sachs, there was this idea that, you know, the long-term investment horizon was going to be good. We've still got the North Korean incident rumbling on. And just the fact that markets have been on such a good run this year has got investors a little bit nervous.
All right, a snapshot there of some of the market psychology this morning from Ben Kumar, investment manager at Seven Investment Management in London. Ben, I really appreciate this.
Thank you.
Now, all that said, stock index futures for the U.S. are up a bit this morning. The Dow future up 3 points. Yesterday, the Dow fell 274 points, 1.2%. Now, it is common to ask your investment manager to borrow money to buy some financial instrument. Borrowing is a key part of selling a stock short, trying to profit from its decline. Now, three big public pension funds are suing some of the biggest names on Wall Street for allegedly overcharging for these loans. Suing are retirement systems in Iowa, plus Sonoma and Orange counties in California. Getting sued and yet to comment, just about everybody from Goldman Sachs to Bank of America. We've been looking at globalization and the political backlash against it. It's a Marketplace series we're calling Trade-Off. President Trump is pushing for NAFTA to be redrawn. A Trump senior advisor talks of a trade war with China now. In Europe, some countries want to stem the flow of immigrants and refugees. So if we are at an inflection point with globalization, just how do we get here? Scott Tong of our sustainability desk and our former China bureau chief came bearing an interesting graph, a plot of data that explains so much. Greetings, Scott.
Good morning, David.
Starts with a chart like you might see in an economics journal. Apparently, this chart is quite popular among those who like to geek out with economics and think about trade. It's got the picture of an elephant traced in it, right?
If you sketch it out, it sketches the outlines of an elephant looking to the right. And what it does is it paints this data picture of winners and losers in the global economy of the past generation ever since the late 80s. So here's why it's shaped that way. If you take everybody in the world and you plot their incomes on a chart from left to right, lowest incomes to the left and the highest on the right, there's been this huge surge on the left-hand side. And that's the rising of the back half of the elephant all the way up to the top. That is resurgent Asia, the consumer class in India and China and other fast-growing emerging economies. Now, by our standards, yours and mine, they're not getting rich. They're moving up to like a dollar or two an hour. But these are countries that got left behind during the Industrial Revolution and are finally catching up.
But what about the developed world, the richer world where you and I live? That's where the trunk, I assume, of this elephant starts to dip downward.
And that represents the rich world's working class, the bottom half in Japan, Western Europe, North America, and their incomes have pretty much gone sideways since the late 80s. And all this is according to the elephant chart author, Branko Milanovic, at the City University of New York. He's an ex-World Bank economist.
These are people who are, from the global perspective, relatively well off, but they really have not seen any improvement over like 25 years. And that was, of course, seen as one indication of why there was disenchantment with globalization or why maybe these people voted, in favor of Brexit or Trump.
But wait, hold your elephants here. Is there a suggestion that it's causal because the poorer people got more rich?
Milanovic is not attributing anything to any causal relationship. So the struggles of, say, the Rust Belt in the U.S. are not necessarily because of emerging Asia.
All right, but now the tip of this elephant's trunk is pointing upward. This is what, the fancy pants people, the richest 1%?
Right, the tip of the trunk rising up to the right is the global 1%. If you make about $300,000 in the U.S. pre-tax, that's you, and you're a big winner in this recent history. So one big question going forward is what to do about the sagging middle in the rich countries, right? They're the ones making political noise, in some cases attributing their misfortunes to globalization and immigration. In general, those have been big engines of growth, but there are winners and losers here.
All right. So our ongoing coverage is called Trade-Off, a deeper look here at Marketplace at the costs and benefits of trade. Marketplace's Scott Tung, thank you.
You're welcome.
See the elephant chart in action. We have a cool video we made. Look for our Trade-Off series at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.